It is a beautiful day out there today. Absolutely gorgeous. I walked out this morning thinking I needed long sleeves and a jacket, but about 10:30 or so, I mean, it was shorts and short sleeve weather out there compared to when I talked to Mr. Joe. Uh-oh, here I go. Opager. I always have a hard time with the name. I finally asked him, how do you pronounce your name, Joe? And he laughed and said it's been mispronounced his whole life. So he sent me the true one. But anyway, he lives up in Minnesota and he's ice fishing. And it's amazing what different weather we have in this country. Anyway, my name is Roger Metz and I want to welcome you to another Saturday of Woods and Water, South Carolina. As always, you can tune into this show on your FM dial 94.5, download the free Conservative Talk app, or go to the station website, Conservative Talk 94.5. Click the Listen Live link on the right side of the page. You can also find this show with a weekly calendar of events, pictures, videos, and whatever else I put up there on Facebook at facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. We're also on Instagram at #woodsandwatersscradio. And you can listen to the weekly podcast and see more on the website. That's woodsandwatersc.com. The numbers to call on the show today, 235-9405 if you're in the area, and 877-235-9405 if you're somewhere else. I've got today's show is we got a segment with Kellis Mills. He is the public policy director with Ducks Unlimited in Washington, D.C. You know, the duck stamp turned 80 this year. And there's also been a bill passed in both the House and the Senate to raise the duck stamp from $15 to $25. So we'll talk a little bit about that, where all that money goes to. And I've also got a stack of books here, some of my favorites. I've got some suggestions from friends that I know on their favorite books for the outdoorsman. Just another one of those Christmas ideas for the outdoorsman in your life. We're still in the Christmas spirit, and today I have something for the fly fisherman. I've got a couple things, but I don't think with the segments we've got, I'll have more time than give away more than one thing today. But it's down at ICAST in Orlando. The guys at Rio Products gave me a Trout Series InTouch Rio Gold line, 4-weight line. It's the new ultimate all-around no-stretch fly line. So you'll need those numbers to call in. I'll probably do that after the last DU segment. That would be the third segment of the show. But it's a great fly fishing line. I think these things are somewhere around, I don't know, 80 or 90 bucks. But anyway, that's courtesy of Rio Products, and we'll get to that later on the show. We lost a high school classmate and friend yesterday morning, so if you'll give me a few minutes, I want to say a few words about Tad Hamblin. You know, I wasn't a very good friend because being a good friend takes time and hard work, two things I use many times as an excuse, but I knew Tad and have a ton of memories from high school all the way to a chance meeting up at Cherrydale this past spring. Tad was infectious. You know, when he was around you, he made life fun. We all know that about him. We all say that about him. The Facebook messages and postings and the phone calls and all that's something we've all had in common and our memories about Tad. But he had challenges too. You know, he was paralyzed in a motorcycle wreck a year after we graduated from high school. Our class lost Gary Isaac. If you're a Greenville native, you remember that name, in the military invasion of Panama on December 20th, 1989. And Tad lost his best friend. Another tough blow. More than a few years passed before our class started having these little get-togethers around the holidays with just whoever was in town, and Tad was in almost all of them. It was there I heard of his work at St. Francis and something more than just a unit secretary, which was his official job. Stories from other people I knew of how he would sit with a friend that was in the hospital or someone on his floor that just needed cheering up. I'm at a loss on how people who have been through traumatic injuries, painfully long stays in the hospital, and then probably rehab, end up back in hospitals helping other people. I think they know when they say you can get through this, that people can see that you really can get through it. It is possible. I see a lot of Tad's character, my niece Lindsay, who was paralyzed in a car wreck in 2002. Lindsay's back in the hospital, this time as a child life specialist, helping kids and families through traumatic times in their lives. None of us knew that Tad was even battling cancer until it was too late for us to even go see him in the hospital. And why have I talked about this today? To say this. When Tad and I left each other in the parking lot at Cartridge Roll last spring, we said we needed to get together and have lunch or get the high school gang back together soon. I've talked before on this show about what is your word worth. What is it worth when you say things like this about going to lunch, going fishing, or whatever it is you talk about doing? I won't get to have lunch or see Tad if we have a get-together over the holidays this year. So follow through with things you say. Don't let it be just an easy end to a chance meeting with an old friend, because we don't know what tomorrow holds for anyone, including ourselves. But let me leave you with one of my first and best memories of I have of Tad. I think it was spring of 1981, 8th grade science class with Miss Kloppenstein, Miss K to her students. Tad and I were pretty thick back then, which included sitting in the back of the room and being first class cut-ups. So Miss K said we could have seats at the very front of the room. And I mean at the front. The only thing between her and us was the desk where the overhead projector sat. Well, the overhead projector fan was always blowing hot air in us, and we decided to put a stop to it. Our genius solution? Block the fan with a book. We didn't have to wait long before it started smelling and overheating and practically blew up right there in class. We must have played our dumb cards pretty good, because we didn't get more than just a stern talking to. So we'll all miss you, Tad. But we know you and Gary are having a great time catching up over the last 25 years, and we'll see you both again when our time's come. Appreciate you listening. Kind of flip things around a little bit. I have a little piece on the Ion camera that I have that I think is a good advertisement for it. But I think I'm going to go ahead and get to the calendar, because we got the DU segments coming up. So let's get to the calendar events, and if I have time, I'll tell you about my Ion camera experience. The Save the Hunt, Save the Habitat, Save the Habitat, Save the Hunt from the National Wild Turkey Federation. They are having on December the 18th. It's a dove hunt. The Forest Service Commission down in Trenton, South Carolina. It's the Forest Commission's Taylor Nursery. Always a good time. I noticed the other day the National Wild Turkey Federation opened its Palmetto Shooting Sports Complex, which is supposed to be very, very nice. Archery, sporting clays, trap. But anyway, this is sponsored by National Wild Turkey Federation. These are dove hunts. The next one's December 18th. Get in touch with them. The schedule events, they have an all-day thing. Registration, welcome instruction, dove hunting instruction, safety overviews, lunch, draw for blinds, and then you have your dove hunt. There's another gun show coming up. This one right here in Greenville, it's the South Carolina Arms Collectors Association show, December the 20th through the 21st, TD Convention Center, Saturday 9 to 5, and Sunday. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, we had Jay Ellison on not too long ago to talk about the new solo courses they have. This one is their Wilderness First Responder course. It's for anyone working in a position of leadership in an outdoor setting, or any individuals who want a higher level of personal backcountry training, medical training for trips and expeditions. It's 7 to 10 days and is a comprehensive and in-depth look at the standards and skills of response and assessment, injuries, environmental emergency, and survival skills. So this is one that you better be prepared for. It's going to be held December the 27th through January the 4th. $650. I believe this is a lot of hands-on, if I remember what Jay said. So if you're in that line of work where you need to have this kind of qualifications and all, Glendale Outdoor Leadership School has got what you want. Give them a call. Talk to Jay, 864-529-0259. I had this last week and forgot about it. This is the Tomahawk Team Trail Bass Fishing Tournament. $5,000 two-day fish off, first place guaranteed. Takes place at the lake, at Lake Murray, the Larry Coon Landing on Shell Avenue in Gilbert. Time, safe light to 3 p.m. Sponsored by Tomahawk Fishing Shop, Gaucho's Deli, and Lou's. Entry is $60 per boat, 30 one-time membership fee, and optional $10 for the big fish. You can register at the ramp. It's a championship. All DNR rules apply. Lou's will be giving away some stuff, and so will Gaucho's. You have to fish. I believe it was 4 of the 7. The next tournament is 12-20, 1-3, 1-10, 1-17, and 1-24. So, hey, for $60, just go fish it and have a good time. Hear the music coming up. I think I have one more little thing coming up after the break, and then we'll get it done and go to the segment on Ducks Unlimited. See you on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, here on 94.5 WGTK. Let's finish up the calendar events with one more. I tell you, the calendar's getting thin. Of course, I guess with Christmas and the holidays, it's going to get thin, but maybe. I know there's a ton of stuff going on January the 1st. If you want to plan something for New Year's Day, there are hikes at every state park across the state. New Year's Day hikes. Some of them are short. Some of them are 2 hours. Some of them are 6 hours long. I'll cover some of those next weekend. So you can start looking ahead to those. The last item on the calendar, I believe this will pretty much encompass 2015. This is just the first tournament of the year. It's the Boca Morris Pass Fly Fishing Tournament, organized right out of there at Hedrell's Point in Mount Pleasant. It's a fly fishing club. This little fish off is December 26th to January the 4th. It's an open tournament. Everyone's welcome to fish. $20 per angler. You register at either location of Hedrell's. There'll be a cookout and awards. Even if you can't fish, please join us for the cookout. $10 to help with the food. And I'm pretty sure, being as it's December and January, you're going to have some oysters on the menu. Rules tournament, it's catch and release only. Results by 4 o'clock. Minimum size for any species is 12 inches. You know, there's redfish, trout, and flounder are what you're fishing for. There's a Grand Slam Award, like I said, a cookout afterwards. If you need any more information, call Hedrell's Point, 843-475-7696. Actually, that's Captain Mike Abel's cell number. Or, like I said, Hedrell's Point and Tackle in Mount Pleasant. I'll get those up on the calendar on the Facebook page like I normally do every week. Go to them and check it, but make sure when you're done, a couple days before you go, give them a call, look on the website, make sure nothing's changed. All right, the duck stamp turned 80 this year. We're celebrating that. We're also right in the middle of having the House and Senate pass a $10 increase from $15 to $25. And I thought it'd be a good time to have somebody on who knows more than I do about the duck stamp and all the benefits. So this week I talked to Kellis Mills from the Ducks Unlimited office in Washington. He's their public policy director. So let's go to that interview now and catch up on what's going on with the duck stamp. We are privileged enough to have Kellis Moss from the Director of Public Policy with Ducks Unlimited from Washington, D.C. on the show with us today. Kellis, thanks for being here.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me.
It's very, I guess, timely that we're talking about this because we do have a House bill and a Senate bill that have passed an increase in the federal duck stamp for $15 to $25. First increase in a long time. We were talking that it's not been signed yet. We're hoping it's going to go through. If we remember our high school government class right, that it's going to be deemed to have passed, so to speak.
That's right.
And but anyway, the federal duck stamp, it turned 80 this year. Tell us a little bit about the history. Why do we even have a duck stamp?
So the first duck stamp was sold in 1935. So these guys created it, and FDR signed it in 1934.
Right.
It was right during the Great Depression was going on. The Dust Bowl was happening, so we're having all sorts of all kinds of reasons not to do it,
right.
which you know, really kind of makes it easy on us. And it's never a good time to raise the price on your hunting stamp. And I'm the first one to tell you, I don't necessarily want to pay an extra $10, and I'm sure those guys in 1934 didn't want to pay a buck.
No, they sure didn't.
But that's what they did. So in 1934 was your first stamp, and it was for $1. And I think, you know, a group of guys, duck hunters, kind of came together and said, if we're going to have a shot at this, if this is something that, you know, we're going to continue to do, that our kids are going to do, we need to figure out a way to save a little land, and that was their idea. So $1 in 1934.
That's a pretty good price.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course, in 1934, that was a lot of money.
That's very true. Like I said, you know, with the Great Depression going on, it probably ruffled a lot of feathers.
I bet it did.
But that being said, I was looking at some stats for us, and even in 1934, at $1, they sold over 500,000 stamps back then.
My goodness.
Which which really surprised me.
That's a lot of stamps. How many do we sell these days?
We're about 1.2 million. We fluctuated, you know, I looked in the first few years in the 30s, they were selling, got all the way up to, almost up to 2 million in the 1940s. But it's probably been right around a million for the past, you know, 20 years.
Okay.
Now, that's give or take quite a bit.
Sure, sure.
So.
And it's funny that during the hard times, who steps up but the outdoorsman?
That's right. The duck hunters themselves. That's you know, speaking as one, we're kind of the guys that you've got to, if you want to continue doing this, you've got to put your money where your mouth is.
That's right.
Thankfully, for years and years, we've done that.
Yeah, that's right. And we've conserved quite a lot, and we've done quite a lot for ducks. And not only ducks, but you hear trickle-down economics. Well, there's trickle-down conservation. Because what you do for one species usually always benefits a wide variety of species. Some of them people want to hunt and some of them people just want to look at.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's always a good point to bring out that, you know, hunters and conservationists are the first ones to dig in their pockets when it comes to, you know, what we love. Even though we like to shoot them and eat them and that sort of thing, we want those species to be healthy. And we regulate ourselves and we fund ourselves, too.
That's right. So money from your federal duck stamp goes towards the National Wildlife Refuge System.
Okay, and that's who manages the money. It doesn't ever go into Congress and that sort of thing. It goes right to them, right?
That's right, correct. So it's not, you know, coming out of an appropriations process or anything like that. You know, I think it takes a couple of years, but we go out, we buy our stamp this year. Those funds will eventually go into the Fish and Wildlife Service, who will turn that around and either buy land or lease it through conservation easements for duck habitat, you know, going right into the National Wildlife Refuge System.
So if we're going to spend some money with the federal government, at least we know where this money is going.
Oh, yeah, and you know, something I talk about with my buddies is how conservative of an idea this is. This is, you know, you're putting your dollars towards exactly what you want. This isn't putting it into a big pot and then who knows what happens to it.
Yeah.
This is going towards habitat.
People that think like you are putting your money to work for you.
That's right. Exactly.
And it's not only, and we think about this as in a U.S. perspective, but we're talking conservation efforts in Mexico, Canada. I mean, it's North American continent is benefiting from some of this money.
Oh yeah, it's international, and it is it's the full life cycle of the duck, right? And the breeding grounds, North Dakota and Canada, all the way down to their wintering grounds on the Gulf Coast, and then Mexico. And your dollars are going, you know, north to south as well. Certainly, the breeding grounds are so important. You know, the Dakotas, the kind of the duck. What's the, I'm blanking.
Duck here. Factory.
There you go. Duck factory in the Dakotas. But then getting down to the coast as well, you've got to have habitat for the entire life cycle, and that's kind of the key here.
All the way down, all the way back.
Yes, sir.
Which is interesting because the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I was duck hunting, shot a banded black duck, called the band number. She said, okay, where are you? She took down all my information, and I just got the certificate in via email. I assume they still made me a hard copy, but I got the information via email. That duck was banded in August in Haileybury, Ontario, Canada.
Awesome.
So, and which shows that's the breeding ground that we're talking about
that's
benefited from duck stamp. And down here, although my little place I duck hunt has not been the recipient of any waterfowl money or whatever, if not for those factors, that black duck might not have been here.
Oh, exactly. That's right.
Okay, the last increase we had was 1991, and I've seen myriads of comparisons. Is there a comparison of the cost of gas, the cost of duck stamp, the cost of land? I know the cost of conservation easements and the cost of land has gone up tremendously since then. Do you have any comparisons for us?
Oh yeah. So in our kind of process of trying to get this bill through the House and Senate, you know, we certainly had a lot of conversation back and forth of, hey, I don't want to spend any more than 15. That, quite frankly, I don't want to spend the money I do spend on it.
Right.
And like I said, I completely agree. But so last time we changed was 1991. You know, a loaf of bread in 91 was 70 cents. Cost you about $1.40 today. Yeah, dozen eggs, $1, $1.10, a little over $2 today. So it's been a while, you know. Look at the price of gasoline. I think that's probably most shocking, and it has gone down here recently. But back in 91, it was $1.24. So where are we, 270 or so today?
Well, down here, we're in the 220s now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're really enjoying this fracking out in the Midwest that we're going through. But yeah, so, you know, looking at things, we pretty much doubled the price of things then versus now.
Right.
And we're talking, what, about a 65% increase in the cost of the duck stamp if it goes through?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was looking at the history. So 1934 was our first stamp for a dollar.
Right.
It stayed a dollar, and not to, you know, give you too many numbers here, but... stayed a dollar until 1949.
Okay.
Went up to $2. Then in 1960, it went to $3. 1973, it went to $5. So we've kind of been, you know, creeping up. In
right.
In 1980, it was $7.50. 89, $10. And 91, you know, $12.50.
Yeah.
So.
Why has it been so long since we've had an increase?
Well, I'm not real sure. It was probably one of those things for years. It was just kind of an afterthought.
Okay.
But in the past, I know we have been talking with a lot of people over the past probably 2 to 3 years trying to get this done. And it's for people that aren't outdoorsmen, that aren't duck hunters, that don't know where this money is going.
Right.
The idea of giving more money to the government is, you know,
yes,
doesn't fly.
Well,
right.
I'm an accountant by trade, so I know exactly what you're
yeah,
talking about.
Right. Right. So it takes a little bit of education.
Right.
Unfortunately, we don't have. There just aren't as many folks that are outdoorsmen and duck hunters as you'd like. So it's for that sect. You've got to let those folks know where this money is going, why we want to do it. And why we think it's such a good idea.
That's the first segment. We've got about another 6 minutes that we'll run in after the bottom of the hour break. I did a little, it's amazing what, you got to love Google for as intrusive as they seem to be. They're a great search engine. But anyway, I did a little inflation search here. A dollar back in 34, based on the inflation rates we've given and all, was, worth about $10.13 in 1991. So I guess in 1991, we were paying a little more than, you know, the cost in 34. A dollar in 34 value is $17.65 now. So I guess to even things out for what the last 23 years or so, we've been going from more than what the dollar was worth in 34 to less. And like he said, you know, nobody wants to pay more, especially to go have fun. And that's always a real kicker when you're talking about raising user fees or whatever you want to call them. But the duck stamp, it doesn't go into the general fund and get spent on whatever else. The money you spend on the duck stamp, whether you duck hunt or not, and there are plenty of people out there that collect them. And I encourage you to do that because it helps the National Wildlife Refuge System and all, helps the waterfowl environment, everything. You just don't like to pay any more. I'm not going to like to be $10 lighter in the hip next December, but I'm going to do it because it's for a good cause. 98 cents goes straight into conservation. There's the music. We'll come back, finish up this interview with, and then I got a little bit to say about the ion cannon. Ion cannon. That was in Star Wars, I think. I'll see you on the other side, and I'll straighten my tongue out. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I love that song. I'm sorry, there's certain songs that just grab you. Okay. This is not 80s radio. Although that would be fun one day to come in here and just do an 80s radio segment. It really would be. Okay, last segment of the show, we had our interview with Kellis with Ducks Unlimited out of Washington, talking about the duck stamp. Let's go back and finish up that interview. And when we get done, I have a giveaway. I'm going to give away a Rio 4-weight fly line. So listen up for that. And I just talked to Kellis a few minutes ago, and I have an update on what's going to happen with this whole increase. So we can go with that now. We'll finish up the interview with him and move on to the rest of the show. Primarily, we're benefiting waterfowl. I mean, that's the focus, ducks.
Yeah, but a lot of other critters take advantage of it.
Oh,
sure.
Songbirds. Not only have the habitat, to have the waterfowl, you've got to have the habitat, which is your swamps, your prairie pothole regions, and all that. But the duck factory itself, it's a factory for all sorts of wildlife.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I don't know if you've had the chance to go pheasant hunting or deer hunting out in the Dakotas on a waterfowl production area.
I've been through there, but I've never been able to get out of the car.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, that's a great spot. I think, pheasant hunters really take advantage of it. And we were, again, talking about earlier the National Wildlife Refuges. All that property, all of those easements, all of that is duck, mainly duck habitat, but it's for deer and pheasant and you name it.
Yeah. And that's all been these National Wildlife Refuges we're talking about, funded by the bird stamp?
Yeah, that's right. All of it. Every dollar.
It.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, it says since its enactment, this landmark initiative generated more than $900 million to conserve 6 million acres of wetlands across the U.S. and beyond. And I saw another quote that said, it's understandably the federal duck stamp has been called one of the most successful conservation programs ever initiated and is a highly effective way to conserve America's natural resources. Pretty succinct saying.
It's bragging, but it's not. You know, we're not stretching. 98 cents out of each dollar goes towards it. You know, I think they say that 2% gets hung up, Fish and Wildlife Service administrative
right.
type things. But they turn these dollars right around to, you know, on the ground habitat, and it's a great program.
Who buys a stamp? I mean, are there any statistics to say that duck hunters probably buy the most? And for the last few years, I bought two. Just to have the extra one. Do you see a lot of other people buying a stamp? Is there any way to know?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if the Fish and Wildlife Service or the refuges track that well.
Okay.
But I certainly all your duck hunters do. And then if you want access to refuges, you get that with a duck stamp.
Which is a very little known fact.
That's right. That's right.
And in fact, I had read it somewhere a few years ago, I think, and when I was doing a little research for this conversation, I ran across it again, that you get access to the National Wildlife Refuges with a duck stamp. And I actually did this down in Atascosa National Wildlife Refuge at South Padre Island, or right there at South Padre. I was down there at a client's. I knew the refuge was there, and the pintails and redheads just like draw me like a magnet. And I actually used my duck stamp to gain entrance to that thing.
Yeah.
Which was kind of neat. I was like, wow.
That's right. It's kind of a free trip that you didn't expect, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I think we've covered it. I've had a lot of people, I'm sure like you, $10, that's it. I just can't come up with 10 more dollars to go towards hunting and all. The $25, you got to look at it in the broad picture of things. Yes, it's more money out of your pocket. You might have to give up lunch one day a year.
That's right.
For your extra $10. But look at the benefits. And to be a duck hunter, I won't say to be a duck hunter, you've got to look at it that way. But to be a conservationist who duck hunts, you have to look at it that way. Yes, it's another $10 towards hunting, but it's another $10 that's going to get used to buy even more duck habitat that benefits all the other species and us too, because we're losing that habitat quickly.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I make no bones about it. Trust me, I don't want to spend any more money than I have to duck hunt.
Right.
But this is a money very well spent. There's never a good time to raise it.
Right.
It was started in 1934. You know those guys didn't want to spend a dollar.
No.
But it honestly is a good thing for the habitat. It's a good thing for the waterfowl. It's a good thing for the duck hunters and for the, you know, bird watchers as well. So we all really take advantage of it. All hunters are able to, hunters and wildlife enthusiasts can really take advantage of these refuge lands, and it's a great program, and glad that it's hopefully getting better.
I think it will be. Look, I appreciate you coming on, taking time out of your day from Washington, D.C. to talk to us. We don't have a signed bill. If we both recall our government classes, we think it's going to be deemed to have been signed if it goes a certain amount of time. Either way, I guess we'll know by weekend if we got one. And, you know, I'll put this out to anybody that's listening to this show. If you are a young duck hunter, you know, you're 16, 17, working, going to high school, and next year comes around, you don't have that $10, the first one that gets to me, I'll buy your whole duck stand for you.
Oh, no doubt. There will be friends out there that want to take you hunting, and if you can't afford it,
that's
just
right.
Ask around.
But everybody listening, next year you want a duck stamp, first one to get to me, I'll buy you a duck stamp.
That's great.
But I appreciate it, Kellis. I will keep in touch with you as things go along in Washington. You keep me posted.
All right, will do. Thank you, man.
All right, appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, it sounded like an advertisement for the $25 duck stamp, and it pretty much was. It's one thing that I do believe in. It's one thing I don't mind paying for because the benefits, you know, they go far beyond just our waterfowl. I talked to Kellis on the way into the show today just to see if he had an update because when I talked to him Thursday, he didn't know if the president was going to sign it or not. He had talked to the White House Friday. It sounds like they're trying to get some kind of ceremony together to sign it early this week. So it looks like we got a $25 duck stamp. And like I said, if you're a teenager next year and you just can't find $10 to buy that duck stamp to go duck hunt, give me a call. I'll be around here on the radio. I'll buy you a duck stamp for you. That's how much I believe in this program. Okay, let's give Aurea a Rio four-weight fly line. First person to call in, 235-9405. 877-235-9405. This is one of their it was brand new in August. It's their InTouch Rio Gold Freshwater Series. Great fly line. Call in, it's yours. And Merry Christmas. I want to say a little something about an ion camera. It's just a little piece of aluminum, but it is a tough, tough video camera. And here's why, because I have put it to the limits, not on purpose, but just whatever. But I posted one clip. You can look at what the camera does on the Facebook page. It's a 1 minute stripe on the fly video I did back this fall. And I've taken it out a couple times because I wanted more video. Well, the first time I took it out, somehow or another, it got left in the deer stand during a 3-day rain. So it sat there in 3 days of rain. Actually, it was in a puddle when I finally found it in the seat. Took it out, cleaned it up, worked just fine. The next time I took it out was Thanksgiving morning. I went duck hunting, took Sophie. And at first I had it, not zip tied, but, Velcroed to the blind so I wouldn't lose it. I took it off because the first bird that came by was on the wrong side to get footage. So I took it off, held it in my hand. Somehow or another, when I put it in my pocket, I went back to get it out, and the pocket was out, falling out of my pocket. That was 2 weeks ago. It's taken me that long to find the time to go down there. I borrowed a metal detector from Judd over at Plaza Coins and Knives, and doggone if I didn't find that thing, which was really amazing. It took me about 20 minutes, but after 2 weeks of being underwater, in the mud, under the grass, in the leaves, I got it back. It does have a waterproof seal on the back of it. Luckily, I had clicked on that before I dropped it. I took it home last night, cleaned it up, Tried it off real good, took the back cap off, plugged it into my computer. Everything works, including the videos I'd taken Thanksgiving morning. So, I can give you an unqualified opinion that the Ion camera, and mine is an Air Pro, Wi-Fi model. It's been Woods and Water, South Carolina tested. It's a great thing. You want a new little gadget for Christmas, I can endorse it. Thanks to Mr. Joe Oppiger from the FLW for that one. Hopefully I'll get some good clips, get them up there, and everybody can enjoy what it does. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the final segment, Woods and Water, South Carolina. Got a lot of things. This is the problem. They tell me to come in the studio with more information I'm going to need, and I do, and I never get through it all, which is good and bad. I'll get to a couple quick news stories here. If you've got a Remington Model 700, they are recalling about 7.85 million rifles. It's a part of a federal court settlement. It's replacing the triggers. So if you've got a Remington 700, you may want to get a hold of Remington and find out what you need to do to get the problem fixed or the perceived problem fixed quickly. Another story out in the news. If you may have seen this, you may not have seen this. Bass Pro Shops buys Ranger Boats. Bass Pro Shop Group LLC, the privately held outdoor and hunting supply retailer, is buying Fishing Holdings LLC of Flippin, Arkansas, which makes Ranger, Stratus, and Triton fishing boats. Deal announced Thursday. So the first question that popped in my mind was, well, now what happens when all the boats like that are owned by another company, not the one, you know, originally making them. So I got a hold of Joe Oppiger at the FLW. He said nothing changes. He said, Rangers, the official sponsor of the FLW Tour, nothing changes with them or their pros. He said he doesn't see anything in the future that will change that relationship. So, but it's pretty interesting. I met Forrest and Nina Woods at the FLW Tour in August. Wonderful couple. And, what a great story. If you ever get a chance to read up on that story on his life, it's just a good one. Okay. Last month. Oh, okay. We got John from Atlanta as the contest winner. John from Atlanta. Wonder how I'm going to get that to him. He's not going to stop by the station to pick it up, is he? Okay. John, I've got your stuff, your information. I'll get it to you. Merry Christmas. Hope you can use it. I guess that'd be the Chattahoochee River fishing down there. Or maybe up in northeastern Georgia. They got some great trout streams up there too. Last week we did, I did a little informal poll the week before last, had it on last week's show about, gifts for the outdoorsman. This week I did another one. Books for the outdoorsman. I love to read. We didn't have a TV growing up, I think we did have for a few years. We were allowed to watch like an hour a day. Sometime in the late 70s, I think that TV got struck by lightning, and we never had another one. So we grew up outside or reading. Dad always said, what you read, no one can ever take away from you. And it's true. Books are a great thing. So what I did was I asked friends, hey, if you had a book to recommend for a gift for Christmas for the sportsman, what would you suggest? And I got some good ones. One of the first ones, The Last Child in the Woods. It's by Richard Louv. And I just went in. I haven't read the book. Some of these I haven't read. Some of them I have. So I went in and looked for quotes on it. And here's a great quote from the author. If getting our kids out into nature is a search for perfection, or is one more chore, than the belief in perfection in the chore defeats the joy. It's a great thing to learn more about nature in order to share this knowledge with children. It's even better if the adult and child learn about nature together, and it's a lot more fun. So, The Last Child in the Woods, Richard Louvre, could be something you might want to get a kid for Christmas. 10th Legion. Now, I admittedly am not much of a turkey hunter, but everybody that responded and several other people said, if you have a turkey hunter, they don't have this book, you need to get this book for them. The review from the back cover, 10th Legion has long been considered the greatest and most hilarious book on turkey hunting. Many people who hunt turkeys do so with an attention to detail, a regard for strategy, tactics, and operations, and a disregard for personal comfort and convenience that ranks second only to war. As for all cultists, it never occurs to them that there may be anachronisms. Supremely unconscious of the rest of the world, blind and deaf to logic and reason, they walk along their different roads and step to the music of their different drums. 10th Legion, Tom Kelly's first and most famous book, lets you hear just one time and however faintly what so many others have heard with clarity and purpose all their lives, the dim and distant music of that other drum. So for the turkey hunter, 10th Legion by Tom Kelly. Yeah, The Old Man in the Sea, Ernest Hemingway. How many of us had to read that in school? Call of the Wild by Jack London. Just Call of the Wild and the White Fang. Both good books, both outdoor books. Not necessarily hunting or fishing, but just books to spur that interest in the outdoors. Another one that was recommended, and this is by Pete Rogers. And Pete lives right out here in Greer. It's Times Well Spent, Ramblings of a Sportsman. The reviews, I really enjoyed this book. It is easy to read and captivating from the first chapter. I really like the author's humor and his openness. His ability to see things and express them is rare in today's outdoors writers. Get this book for anyone who loves the outdoors. You won't regret it. Pete said he's got some more books on order, and hopefully sometime February and March he's going to have a book signing, which would be really neat. My Side of the Mountain was another suggestion. It's about a 15-year-old boy who doesn't like living in New York City apartments with his eight brothers and sisters, so he decides to run away to his great-grandfather's abandoned farm in the Catskill Mountains to live in the wilderness. Now, his dad, realizing he's either going to go one way or the other, permits him to go, make sure he's checked on and everything. But it's, if you read it, it looks like a really cool book for a kid, written on that level. Like, again, to bring them into that outdoors. Get them away from the TV. Get them away from the Xbox. Here's a... I love outdoor humor, too. So, Ed Zern, he's got a book out there, Hunting and Fishing from A to Zern. He wrote the Exit Laughing column on the final page of each issue of Field and Stream. This is a compilation of these essays, and it's hilarious. Included are some of the meeting minutes of his... Madison Avenue Rod Gun, Bloody Mary, and Labrador Retriever Benevolent Association, and Ed's famous book review of Lady Chatterley's Lover. Buy it. So those are just a few that I had people to call in, and those are some that I hadn't read before. Some of the ones I have read, if you want to get a boy's attention or a kid's attention, get them an outdoor handbook, a survival guide. Nothing really deep, but just a good one. My favorite one was given to me in August 28th of 1982. It's the Complete Outdoorsman's Handbook. You can still find them. It's a guide to outdoor living and wilderness survival. Wildlife Hazards, Beating the Bugs, Map and Compass, The Outdoorsman's Knife. And it's just campfire mystique, trapping, the ABCs of wilderness survival. There's another one out there by Sports the Field, Outdoor Skills. This is from my brother, 12/25/93. To my outdoor, number one outdoor buddy and brother, learn all this stuff so I don't have to. I hope I learned some of it. We haven't had to use any yet, not that I know of anyway. Reading the Sky. Teepees, campsites, boats, rafts, and canoes. Just good general information for anybody that's going to be out there. Whether you're new to the outdoors, a veteran, a couple of really good books to have. I said earlier I love outdoor humor. You don't get any better outdoor humor than Patrick McManus. Patrick McManus wrote the Last Laugh, which was the last page in Outdoor Life, I believe, is the magazine. It's been so long since I've seen it, I forget. A couple of his book titles, they shoot canoes, don't they? The Night the Bear Ate Goombaugh. And if you look at the inside at some of the chapter titles, it just gets even more funnier. The Crouch Hop and Other Useful Outdoor Steps. Now stay tuned for the Camp Chef. There's a great one in here called Sneed. Sneed's the local game warden, and he's sneaky. Psychic Powers for Outdoorsmen. Just some great ones. The Night the Bear Ate Goombaugh, another one of his books, and he's got 8 or 9 of them. I think I have all of them. Kid Brothers and Their Practical Application. Garage Sale Hype. Letter to the Boss. That was a good one. I never remember. Never Cry ARP. Boating Disorders. If you want to throw a little humor into it, Ed Zern, Pat McManus, just a really good one. There's another for the fly fisherman. It's a really good author out there. John Gerich writes some good stuff, but it's got a lot of humor in it. I've got several of his books. Death, Taxes, and Leaky Waiters. I read this book when I went to Alaska. It was great. Read it on the airplane. Read it some while I was there. But it's about a lot of his fishing trips. Some of it fun. Some of it serious. If you got a fly fisherman, anything by Gerich is pretty good. He's got 3 or 4 books out there that I've got. Oh, me. One of my favorite, Gene Hill. Absolutely love Gene Hill. My wife and kids often say Daddy's more romantic about his hunting than he is about us, but Gene Hill writes some of the best stories, short stories out there. Some that will, they'll pull you in. One of my favorite ones he writes is about A Christmas Story, and it's about his wish to take his 2 girls, he's got 2 daughters, or had 2 daughters, he's dead now, and a wife to a cabin in the woods where it's snowing. Good books. Probably one of the best and all-time favorites, The Old Man and the Boy by Robert Rourke. Robert Rourke went on to write a lot of African game books, but The Old Man and the Boy, and The Old Man Boys Grows Older, it's about a boy growing up with his grandfather. Really good stories. Clean stories. So if you've got somebody on there that you don't know what to buy them, a book. Other books, Ramblings of a Lowcountry Game Warden, Ben Moisey, down in Charleston, South Carolina. Tales of Quails and Such by Havilah Babcock. If you really want some adventure, try on some Peter Hathaway Capstick, Death in the Long Grass. Those books, those chapters usually start out, the man didn't know he had 9 seconds left to live. Africa's a very unforgiving place, but it's good material, good reading stuff. Get away from the TV, get away from the games. Always gets me when you see the 30-something-year-old boy sitting on the couch and he's talking about how many games he can download free off the TV without ever having to leave the couch. Could be reading a lot of good books. Spending a lot of time outdoors. Yep, just a few more. Hope you can find some ideas for Christmas out of what we've done the last couple weeks. Next week I'll try to think of something else you can give somebody. Chuck Norris for this week. Chuck Norris is so fast, he can turn the light off and get into bed before it gets dark. He's a good one. I had a whole thing about shopping small. Just remember, when you're out there, small business is where America was built. I've got some great sponsors. You've heard about them all year long. I wanted to mention all of them. I'll get to that next week. Get out there and spend money at your local store where that money stays in the economy, right here, right where you live. Make a Christmas list with care. Be careful when you're out there. Make some memories. Don't forget the camera. I'll see you next Saturday.